Donna Ida, the woman you want to wake you up every morning because she just makes you laugh. She is brilliant, but the queen of jeans. What an amazing story, but also just to hear about how she actually created that and how she's kind of turned this business around and how one of the most difficult things a woman can buy is a pair of jeans. Listen to this, it's brilliant and it will make you howl with laughter. God. Donna, Jean Queen.
Yes, Ms. Kelly Hoffman.
Now, do you know, it's a really interesting thing because for this podcast series, I've talked to some of the most amazing women that I admire, but every single person that I've spoken to that I don't know very well because we've only just kind of met, there's always a story of where I first heard of or met. And I, for me, jeans are probably the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
I love fashion. I love clothes. Everyone knows that. I'm a great consumer. But jeans send me into a total cold sweat.
So you just haven't found the right shape for you.
I find it difficult because I feel like I know what the right shape is.
Yes.
And I think one's vision of what you look like is very different to what you look like.
Yeah, I get so annoyed when I don't look the same way as I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
That I see it on somebody else, or one of my girls, it's looking incredible, and then I put it on, everything's a bit tight, and I'm like, oh, God.
Because there's that always that thing when you're lying on a beach, and you say to somebody, or someone says to you, point out who you think you look like on a beach.
God, no one's ever said that to me. Could you
try
imagine?
Try it. And you point to something, and then, look, and then someone says to you, no, but that's
Giselle.
Not.
I look like her. I'm half as high and twice as wide, but I imagine we all do. I've got that. Was it when you, I've got the opposite. Like, I think I look so much better than I do. I mean, not because I've got a massive ego, but I just think, oh, it all must be fabulous. And you see a picture and you go, oh my God.
But I think it's much better to be confident. Like,
yeah,
you know, because you can
around.
Walk into a room and just feel good about who
totally.
You are.
Totally, I'd rather be, than a sort of be nervous about, you know, going into a room or anything, because I do feel sorry for people if you have a lack of confidence.
Yeah,
it's a terrible
yeah.
thing, because life is so short. You have to get in there.
Yeah.
And it's sad to sort of like let the days go by.
So tell me, I've read all about you, about your grandmother in Australia, which I love. I love that because my story kind of stems from my gran, so it's kind of funny. But like at the beginning, how did you imagine the business was going to be, and what made you come up with the idea, and why only jeans and blah, blah, blah?
So I worked in marketing, worked for a sports marketing company, and I know nothing about sport, and I knew less about marketing at that point. But now I do know quite a bit about marketing, and the guy I worked with, who is still a really good friend of mine, called Alistair Ritchie, and he would talk about harnessing people's passion. And he said, it doesn't matter what it is. And, you know, don't be, and Trevor Beattie, who used to work for him, who was with TVWA, and he did all the amazing ads for Tony Blair and Pretty Polly when he got in, and he did FC UK, and he said, don't be ordinary, be extraordinary. So it doesn't matter what it is you do. He said, if you're the bin man, you know, if you're a decorator, if you're a designer, if you make jeans, don't be half-assed about it. Do it really well. Just do one thing well. And, you know, and we can't be everything to everybody, so it's good just to focus. And I was talking to Alice's daughter about businesses and what I wanted to do, because I had my visa with this company. So I then had, I could stay in this country, and I got my passport and everything. I was really excited. I always wanted to live here. And she said, I was talking about concierge business and lots of different things in fashion. And she said to me, well, you love jeans and you know so much about them. Why don't you open a shop that just sells jeans?
But how did you know so much about them?
I just wore them all the time.
Oh, okay.
As a consumer.
Okay.
Purely as a consumer. So I only learned about what I liked because I liked it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And then, so then I was like, okay, amazing. And I thought about it all night. And literally, it was one of those things, I just knew it was going to stick and I just knew it was right. And so then I started writing the business plan and getting everything together to open the store. And it wasn't then until almost actually before we first opened on Draco Avenue, the week before, I was suddenly like, oh my God, I'm going to have to actually sell them. You know, there was like, how do I actually do this? And I had an amazing manager, first girl who I employed, and she's now the biggest seller for McQueen in America. So she was from Joseph, and she was with me, and she taught me everything about teaching, about being on the shop floor and trading and selling to people. And you're styling them, helping them, looking at their body shape, what looked right. And I just, you know, and it just came naturally to me.
Yeah.
And I never would have thought that I was a salesperson. But I'm a natural sales, you know.
You're so bubbly
I'm a natural
and
sales
funny
girl,
and everything
you know?
Else.
Yeah, I love selling and sort of, you know, being around people. And it's really funny that, you know, what you learn about yourself, because Alistair, back to the guy who... you know, I work for, he said to me when I was first buying my first flat, and he said, you do not want to live on your own. You don't want to live on your own. He said, you're terrible on your own. You're a people person. And I was like, I do want to live on my own. I'm not a people. And he knew so much more about me than I did. Mm. And he was right. Mm. I love being around people. It makes me feel good.
No, you're really infectious. Mm. So with the store, though, it's quite interesting in terms of how you opened the store, then you closed it,
yes.
and now you do the pop-ups,
yes.
which I think is very kind of topical right now
totally.
And where people are. It's
exactly.
much harder.
Yeah.
Like me as a businesswoman,
yes.
A mother, a grandmother, your time is so limited.
Yeah.
It's hard to get in a car and go shopping. And it only
totally.
Happens to me when I'm traveling.
I shop when I travel.
Right, and I'm fast. I can
yep.
walk in and scan a room and edit in five
yes.
minutes and pull out. When
yep.
it comes to jeans, forget it.
Yep.
You need time.
Yes.
So what you've kind of done, I think, is really clever.
Yeah.
Because you kind of like allow people to come on a day or a few days. And so tell us a bit about that and this concierge and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah. So what we do is we started, it was a Harper concierge who I was introduced to a good sort of year and a half ago. And I thought, okay, that's a fantastic, you know, concept that they would actually take our product from us, from our stores, and 7 days a week to 10 o'clock at night, take it to the customer, wherever they are, in a hotel, wherever, in their homes, in their office, and help them for an hour, 40 minutes to an hour. If they want to keep something, they pay for it. If they don't, it doesn't matter. And it's £10. It's amazing. So they, you know, but I mean, even Net-a-Porter, even their, you know, the London Premiers is what, £12. You know, and it's so easy. They make it really simple for you. And I was thinking about it. And then we were looking at stores. Do we need the stores? And then it all just came together. I thought, get them to look after all of our London customers, pay them a commission on sales. And then we do everything else we were doing, contacting our customers, our direct sales, was all through the phone. I was sitting there looking at the girls at the sales every single day. We have we had an end of day report every day from both stores, and most of the sales were done on the phone.
Right, so the stylist would come and pick it up, or...
Well, but the girl, just in the stores, the girls were WhatsApping customers, and they were selling to them, and they were posting it out. So
what was the point of having
the stores?
Yeah.
They didn't want to go into stores anymore.
But do you think that, you know, it's part of the other question about sort of social media.
Yes.
I mean, when I started my business 42 years ago,
yeah.
there was no filter.
Yes.
You know, you had to do sort of what we've kind of gone
like
full
circle. It's gone back to I call it Tupperware parties.
Yeah.
We've literally gone back to the Tupperware parties.
Oh, I love Tupperware.
Remember, my mum used to have those, the Tupperware parties, and I'd come home from school, and we'd chop the biscuits on the table, and then mum would be looking all fabulous as she always did.
And Avon calling?
Avon girls, and it's literally
it's gone
back
to the same.
It has gone back.
And of course, social media is also brilliant, because, I mean, your Insta stories, like, literally, I am crying when I watch those. They're brilliant. Brilliant. But with social media, you have this incredible contact with people.
Yes.
If you're a retailer.
Yes.
And a retailer today doesn't have to be, you know, a shop. It doesn't have to have a front door.
Nope.
You can go to people, or as you say, you can contact people.
Totally.
And it's so much easier.
So much easier. And you have that direct line sort of to somebody. So customers speak to me. I reply, chat to everyone. I've met some of my best friends on Twitter or Instagram. I mean, people that I may have heard about or I knew through somebody.
No,
and
you
then
can
you
contact
just,
them.
And you have, and you just start this dialogue. You start chatting to them, and you just like them. You get on, say, come to this, come to that, or I'll meet you here. And it's such a lovely way of connecting and meeting people.
And so tell me now about your brand. So obviously when you started, you bought in brands
yes,
that you
exactly.
liked.
Yes,
Now, so then when did you actually start to design and sort of create something of your own?
So we started in 2012. And the one thing in my business plan from when we opened in 2006 was that we would create our own denim brand. And I put it in the business plan because I thought that's what I wanted to do. Or I wasn't what I felt I really like emotionally I wanted to do, but practically speaking, that's what I
you
should do.
You felt like you had to put it in.
I had, exactly. Yeah. And then starting the business for the first couple of years was so busy, and there's so many brands out there doing amazing stuff that actually for me to create, what would I have created? I would have just been doing, you know, there was too much out there that was too good, and
what
there
you felt
a,
there was
a need for it.
Everything that you wanted.
There was everything that we wanted at the time, but then as it went on, there was only, we always sold high-waisted jeans from the very beginning. So we had a customer for that, and there was that one concept that we actually always needed and didn't have enough of. So there was myself and the girls saying, you know, is high-waisted we needed? We need a high-waisted. There was only a couple of brands do one or two styles. So then we kept going back to brands saying, could you do this? Could you do more of this high-waist? Could you do this again? And they just weren't interested. J brand, everyone went to it. There was like, no, low. It was all about low. So that's when we said, okay, that's it. That is the point of difference. That is the reason for creating a label. Not just to have our own brand, not just to like,
have
our own brand. Yeah. Exactly. There had to be a gap in the market. Mm. And there genuinely was a very big gap in the market. Mm. And so we wanted that really good height, but a good, sexy, you know, stylish, fantastically fitting jean. So that's what it was. And we started, and we probably started developing around 2010. We went, found a factory in Turkey, made a couple of pairs of not bad looking jeans, weren't great. Look, they were okay. I found pictures the other day. They're okay. The branding wasn't right. We probably spent about 10,000 on it, and I just said, it was at Christmas that year, and I said, forget it. It's like, just pull out, go back in. This is not, it's not the right factory. It's not the right, nothing was right. Mm. And then just started, and then started again. And it was actually when we were doing an event one night where we were doing a feedback session with for our online customers. What do you like about the site? What don't you like? And then at the end of it, I said, if there's anything that you were too shy to talk about with me today, or you didn't want to say, or, you know, I hate the brand, I don't like the website, said, just email me, this is my email address, and, you know, please keep in contact. And next morning I got an email from a girl who was there, and she was a talent scout for designers. Mm. And she said, if you're ever looking at doing your own brand, let me know, I could match you with a designer. And then she did, and that's how we found our designer, and then with her came the factory that she'd worked with.
And so, is that where the jumpsuit, which is what you've become famous for?
Yes. So then they developed. So we did the Sadie with them, which is this, which is our very first jumpsuit. And then we also did Dolly with them. Yeah. And so, and then we've now moved our production from to Tunisia. We were in Turkey, now in Tunisia. So they do all of our production now. So yeah, that's how it started. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But do you do other things or just jeans?
We do coats. We do a coat purely because I have a really great factory that I loved in Bulgaria, which is now closed.
Is that the leopard one?
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And so I love the factory and I love the fabric together. Beautiful. Yeah. But now the factory is closing. So this last production run that's coming, they're closing. They're in Bulgaria.
I've got to get one.
So we need to find another factory or whatever. But, you know, there's something, but I quite like that, you know, it's something that it's going to be limited. You know, if I find another factory that's just as good, we could do it again. We've got patterns for it, so, you know.
And tell me, just from your Instagram, like, you're a massive cook.
Oh, I love cooking.
Sweet things.
Sweet things are horrendous. I mean, on a juice diet at the moment, most of it is pineapple. I mean, it's just like pineapple, apple. I mean, it's like the blood sugar's just, yeah,
and
I love.
Would you ever do anything with food? Or you think it's just like more of a hobby?
I might do. That's a good question. I mean, when I was growing up, I was always an entrepreneur in the way what I think. And so I remember looking at, there was muffins and, you know, cupcakes and stuff growing up. It wasn't cupcakes, more muffins.
Like,
maybe I could have a muffin company. Maybe I could have a candle company. Oh, maybe I could do this. So I quite like to do something there, but maybe in a partnership or something. You know Bobby Dazza is president of the Restaurant Association.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
No.
So he has access to chefs. And he is a chef himself. He's a trained chef.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but he is not as good as I am.
It is now
what? He's really good at like the, I don't do any barbecuing or like the main stuff. I like desserts. I like some starters and desserts. I like all the pretty
but
stuff.
But sometimes I get kind of exhausted on your Instagram feed when you go into interior stores because you're constantly wanting to buy things, and I want to stop you and I don't even know your home.
And
I'm like, no, you were buying too much.
I know. Well, I've had to stop myself from going to HomeSense. Because I was like, literally, I just going, Bobby Dazzle's like, why are we going? Why are we going? What are we going to do there? What are we going to do there? I'm like, well, we don't know until we get there, do we? We may do something, we may do a lot, we may do nothing, we don't know. We might just have a beautiful experience. And then, okay, fine. So, you know, I haven't been to Homesteads in quite a while. I want to go this weekend.
Where is it?
Well, they're all over the place, but they're not in London. There's one in Reading, which is close to me. But there's one in Tupelo.
What is it? Like a big warehouse?
It's TK Maxx for
Intuit's. Right.
So
yeah,
it's end of.
Approach me.
End. It's okay. Really, it's good.
Yeah.
Get in there, dolls.
I'm too busy. I can't be in everywhere.
Should I do it for you?
There you go. Business deal. So, like, how do you gauge success? Is it about money, turnover, size, audience? I mean, what drives you other than the passion, obviously?
Being happy and sales and the customers being happy. I don't have a huge ego in turn. Like, I don't have to be sort of like churning turnover. I want good sell-throughs. I want things to sell out. I want the customers to be happy. And mainly now I want, you know, I like having my house that I love with the space that I love, that with the friends that I love, you know, like for me, that is, that is my life. And it's, you know, the world in a huge space that we all live in. And, you know, my husband with my friends, with my family, my house, you know, that's what's mine. And that's what makes me feel good. Mm. And that to me is being successful.
Yeah.
And I would also say, the reason why I work and what drives me is freedom. So I want enough 100%, money to travel.
Yeah.
I want enough money to do what I want to do. If I want to buy something, I mean, okay, I'm not going to be able to buy somebody a car, but like if I wanted to buy a friend something as a gift, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, but things like
yeah,
that.
So it's an independence. I mean, really I've always been independent. I've had my business since I was 16 and a half. And I said to my partner the other day, I wonder if I hadn't always been independent, successful. On the one hand, it's a great thing, and I've never relied on anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some of my journey, people have seen me as a very hard businesswoman rather than the vulnerable person that I am underneath.
It's driven you because there is that vulnerability. It makes you have to succeed because you need the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself and your family and do what you want
to do. It's so exhausting sometimes. I sort of see women that are sort of kept and just out there, and I just think, what would that feel like? And within 5 minutes,
but
I'm like, no, I wouldn't want it.
Vulnerable, I think, because what if it all got taken away?
Yeah.
Or something happened.
I work so I can just always turn left on a plane.
Yes, exactly. Well, I know, but I turned right recently. It was horrendous.
Oh,
I was going to Vegas and I turned right on the way
did you go
there.
Oops, mistake.
I called Bobby Dazzler and I'm like, darling, it's absolutely horrendous here. I said, oh, there's all these like people, and it's like stag dudes, and about 45 boys turned around and looked at me. I'm like, those are always horrendous boys and these desperate girls, and it's just, I mean, they're all drinking. It was in Terminal 3 at Heathrow. I said, I thought the BA didn't fly from here anymore. He goes, oh my god, I know exactly where you are. You're right down the end, and there's LA flying
from
here. I know, he's like, sweetie, it's terrible, I'm just getting on a jet. I'll call you. And he's like, but you're small, you'll be absolutely fine, you can fold up. So I get to Vegas. And then I was on this plane, and there was no USB. The plane was so old, there was no USB thing. It was absolutely horrendous. So I couldn't then charge my phone. So then I get off in Vegas, and I had no battery. So I was like, how do I call an Uber? So then I had to like go up to the Uber place, and so I look for them and think, oh, I'll find somebody and beg. And then found some dude in a car thing, you know, like the valet.
Yeah.
Sweetie, darling, can I please borrow your thing? And I had to like take it, and he goes, you'll just have to wiggle the cord. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing. Wiggling his thing for like 10 minutes just to get enough charge so I can get the Uber. And then finally the Uber turns up and he's like, I'm here. So I go up to where everyone else is like piling in the Ubers, and there's a pickup truck. And I'm like, well, that can't be right. Anyway, and sure enough, he gets my suitcase and he bundles in the back of his pickup truck, and it's like all exposed. Anyone could have just picked it up, taken out. And then I arrive at the hotel in the Aria in Vegas with my stuff and my worldly goods in the back of a pickup truck. Got up into the thing, then Bobby Dazzle arrived around an hour later, and he goes, darling, you've had a terrible time, haven't you? I'm like, how was yours? Beautiful.
Why do you call him Bobby Dazzle?
Because he's such a Bobby Dazzle. He's just perfect in every way. He's just a beautiful example of a man. Since 2010, so 9 years, just over 9 years. We've been together for 12, 13 years.
And is he Australian or?
No, he's English.
English.
English. He sounds a bit Australian now, thanks to me. He says a few Aussie things.
And do you, like, have you got a mentor or is that him or you know, someone
actually.
Who says no to you or helps you or someone that you go to that is...
No, I'll talk to Bobby Dazzo, who would probably be the one person I would talk to about business, just to talk to him about it. And then I would tell him that everything he's saying is completely wrong. He has no idea. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He has no idea. And then I'll roar off and do anything. And then probably come back 2 or 3 months later and say, actually...
You were right.
Actually, darling, sweetie, I do think that that was... So, yeah. But I don't actually... I never have. I just think, for me, and I'm sure you, business is instinctive.
Yeah, totally.
And any time I have... followed what somebody else told me to do, it's always been the wrong mistake. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong mistake.
Instinct
always.
Is always right, and I think a woman's intuition is really, really key.
Yeah.
And I know that I follow my gut 100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yep.
And
yes.
It always, and the few times that I haven't,
that's
and I've had a feeling in my stomach that I'm, and I make another choice, I was completely and utterly wrong.
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Tell me something. How important today do you think it is to have like celebrity endorsement in terms of your brand?
And... Yeah, I think it is. I think it's definitely important in terms of awareness, finding new customers. We have never paid anyone to wear any of our products and we never would. I just don't see the point of that.
Exactly.
And similarly, the way, you know, any brands that want to work with me for any reason, or if I want to go and work with a brand, it's because I like it. I genuinely, HomeSense, for example, absolutely love the brand. You know, stalked them on Instagram, never, ever, ever sniffed at me, winked at me, nothing, like nothing. But I love that brand. And so, and I like it because I'm a genuine fan. And I think you can't replace genuine fandom with, you know, money or paying somebody to wear something or paying somebody to go somewhere. If they're, for us, you know, if there's a friend of the brand, we would call them a friend. Like, we've just got to know each other over the years. They may be high profile, they may not be, but that sort of genuine, like, you know, a friend of the brand, we would always, you know, support and, like, you know, invite people to each other to things. I just think that in that way, celebrity endorsement as a, works when it's natural.
Natural. It's not forced.
No.
Because there's so much of
you
that.
You can see.
Yeah.
And if I, and especially for me, I know that, you know, when this whole thing came out a few months ago, like hashtag ag, hashtag gift, it just turns me right off. And I just think, what, you know, you just seem, you're not genuine, you know, and it just, and I think it actually, for me, it doesn't make me.
Authenticity for me is really important.
So important.
In business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it makes me less likely to be as interested in the blogger. And it makes me less likely to be interested.
I mean, you're
in
such a loud voice anyway. You're a personality. You've got, you know, I was attracted to you because I, you know, a lot of my friends know you.
Yes.
But it was your personality.
Yeah.
So I think you're drawn to things like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah.
But in terms of like when do you come up with your ideas at night when you know when you're traveling
in
or
the
you...
car the most always
music.
Inconvenient in the car in the shower
yeah.
most inconvenient times and middle of night those three things and I'll wake up and go, oh, I must do that and I can't believe I didn't think of that sooner. I'll send an email to myself. I have to get out of the shower.
See, I throw like a pillow on the floor so that I trip over it in the morning.
To remind you.
And then I do that and I can't remember why I threw the pillow.
No, and then you end up. Do you not have your phone next to your bed?
I do, but I try not to pick that up in the middle of the night.
Or a little old-fashioned pad and pen.
I do have a pen and a pen, but then I'll write something and I have no idea.
Do what it means.
It will say something like a fairy light or something and I'll think, what on earth
why
did I need? And then like
that?
A week later I'll be like, oh, I know what that was.
Yeah.
And then it's too late.
Yeah.
And in terms of failure, I mean, as an entrepreneur, do you feel like failing is not a bad thing? Like, sometimes you learn from that, you move on, you
definitely.
Just, you know, you
I've
carry on.
I've learned so much more from my failures than my successes,
yeah.
definitely. And I also think the older I get and the sort of the longer I've been in business, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never be irresponsible or go into something in order to fail. Of course I wouldn't. But
when it happens, it happens and you move on.
It happens and you move on. And honestly, it's nobody will be watching you as much as you're watching you.
I mean,
nobody
it's a
else
weird
cares.
Thing because people always say, oh, Kelly, you know, you've become so successful. And I go, yeah, I have worked my butt off.
Yeah,
every
no one
single
handed
day.
It to you.
People sometimes come up to me that I don't know and say, you know, what do you do in the day? You know, do you ever go to work anymore? I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm up in the morning. I'm in the gym. That's my hour. I'm in my studio unless I'm traveling or I'm out or whatever.
Someone has to drive it.
I mean... I just like, you only become successful through hard work. And
absolutely.
I think as an entrepreneur...
And you only keep it up there through hard work.
Yeah, you're constantly juggling balls.
Totally.
But for me, it's about, you know, the whole thing that if something doesn't work...
Yes.
From day one, and I've listened to so many entrepreneurs, but I realize it's a trait now. If something doesn't work, I'm like, it's done, finish. Right, here's the next idea.
Move
because
on.
As an entrepreneur,
yeah.
you've constantly got stuff stacked up
totally.
In the back of your head, desperate to do,
out.
And you never have
exactly.
enough time, so you just move on to
you
the next
to
thing, and that's
exactly.
the best thing.
And the thing is with ideas, it's almost like people worry that they've only got one idea. And you know, with creativity and ideas, actually, the more you feed it, the more you do, the more ideas you get.
Absolutely.
So you just have to keep going, because if you just think, I've just got, like a novelist, for example, if they think, I've just got my one big idea. No, you know, write the book, and because then actually you'll get the next one. And they just keep coming.
Visualize your future. My
exactly.
saying is, you learn from the past, you live in the present, visualize your future. 100%. And it works every single time.
It really does work, exactly. I mean, Bobby Darza is probably one of the best manifestors I know. He just, the man is just a magnet. He's just, this event went to this morning. It was, where's Bobby Darza? I'm like, what do you mean? This is my event. What about where's Donna Ida? And then he walks in and he comes, hello, darling. And about six or eight blondes just swarm to him. And I mean, he just attracts people. He's one. I think that absolutely love him. I think that anyone who is, you know, someone who will just move on, be positive, have
yeah,
positive
energy,
they will radiate something, and people are attracted to that.
I mean,
ideas
to
are
be successful
to
for me, there are certain words like courage,
yeah.
tenacity,
yes.
passion,
yes.
belief.
Yep.
You know, not worrying about failure, and you know, you
get
have
in there.
All of that. You've got to get in and get your hands dirty.
You have to.
And support the people around you that support you.
Totally.
You know?
And you know, and it's and I've never I hate the word boss, and I've never liked that boss word. Or for me, it's always like
the team.
It's the team. It's I work with people. They don't. No one works for me. It's their choice if they want to work alongside
Except they
me.
They always will think
you know?
Of you as their boss.
They'll think of that, but I'll. But you know,
no,
I think it's like a side by side thing. It's very much.
So
like,
do I. But
you know?
Everyone still thinks of me as the boss
yeah,
here, and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
really it kind of upsets me. I remember Anya Highmarsh once saying to me, "It's really lonely being at the top, running a company, and people don't understand that." And it resonated with me because you. You're at the top, you have to make all the decisions. You think everyone's your friend in your company, they don't think of you as the boss. You're the boss,
yeah.
and that's it, you know.
It's true.
But it was quite interesting. One of my top team said to me the other day that when we go and install a massive project, say in Hong Kong,
yeah.
I am really concerned always that the client is always happy
of
and
course.
That what I deliver is more than their expectations.
Yeah.
And what this wonderful girl, Lucy, that's worked for me for years, turned around and said, it's quite interesting, Kelly. She said, I'm only interested, really, that you're happy.
How
and I thought that was quite an interesting, like,
yes.
kind of thing. So for her, it was to make me happy so that I'm happy. Then,
you're proud of the project.
Yeah, and I thought, how lovely is that,
Isn't
actually?
That?
That her concern was so much that I was proud of what they had done to be a part of this project, and
yeah.
that the end result was the same,
yes.
but it was for me in the middle.
But that just that tells you about the power of the brand, about the power of the Kelly Hopham brand, actually. That's what it sort of tells me, that she wanted to be associated with you and the brand so much, and it meant so much to her.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
I know, she's amazing. Wow. We glue them down
love
to
her.
The chair down there.
Yeah,
we love
absolutely.
Her. And tell me, like, what's next? I mean, do you feel like... Do you ever feel like you've reached the top, or do you feel like there's going to be another tipping point? Do you know what you want, or is it just one of those things where you wake up and it's like, boom, oh, when did that happen?
Yeah, I think for me in the next three to five years, I would say 3 years actually, because you know everything does move so quickly, is to fit the online pop-ups and concierge expansion to be, you know, the business to be 10 times where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want, and to have a really clean, tight, profitable, sustainable online offering, but to also be touching our customers, not in the biblical sense.
And the fact that it's your name,
yes,
like
yeah.
I, you know, my business
yes.
is my name,
yeah.
that puts a lot of pressure on because you're always in the forefront of it.
Yes, but I think it's easier in that way. I mean, I you know Vinay, who when I first started Donna Ida, there's a mutual friend.
Melwani.
Yes.
I didn't know you knew that.
Yes, I
oh
know
my God.
Vinay. And sorry, I emailed you after Hong Kong, but I will. So Vinay was the very first person, our mutual friend. He was selling True Religion jeans at the time. And when I emailed him, and he was there and he was representing them in the UK, and I said to him, I'm opening a shop in Chelsea, and he said, well, I've already got someone in Chelsea. I went, okay, and I just kept going until eventually he said to me, okay, well, you should come in and have a look at the collection. Okay, great. Then he said to me, so what are you going to call it? And I said, Donna Ida. And he said, I think it's a very bad name. And every time I see him, I'm like, remember you said a bad name? He's like, I never said that. I'm like, yes, you did. I wish I had the email. And he was trying to defend it again when I saw him in Hong Kong. But actually, it does make it easier because...
You are the brand.
Exactly. And the reason why I called it Donna Ida was it was a PR girl that I was talking to when I first had the... had the concept, and but we didn't have a name. She said, what's your middle name? And I said, Ida. She said, oh, Ida's a really good name. And she said, well, why? And she's saying to me, why don't you think about Ida or Donna Ida? Because and I went home and I looked at it and I thought, well, actually, all I really wanted was a name that if you Googled it, nothing else came up. So, and nothing else does. Because you've got to be able to find something.
Yeah.
You have to
incredibly. It's a really, really clever brand. Mm. So here's a $1 million question. When you're overwhelmed, overworked,
yes.
Do you panic, stop, take time, travel, eat, shop, or sleep?
Eat, panic, and then write everything down.
Okay.
And then I say to myself, just do one thing at a time. And literally, I will talk to myself. So I prefer to be in the house completely on my own.
Mm.
It's probably really distracting me. And I like complete silence. I don't like any music at all. And so I will literally say to myself, you just have to do it. So I'll clear my desk, have everything, literally just one piece of paper, and I'll go through it and I'll put my emails in. So I'll look, I'll just search by name. So I'll just clear, go through everything, write things down, delete. Yeah, exactly. And then just put everything in piles and go, okay, so this can wait, this is happening then. And literally just like make a list and say, this is all you have to do this morning, this afternoon you have to do this, and do it and stick to it.
Mm.
And then you'll find then actually, you know, it's actually the thought of all this work.
Yeah, everything's manageable.
It's always manageable. And a friend said to me recently, it's easier to keep up than catch up.
Mm.
And it's so true.
Mm.
So even if you have to go home and do a few little things, just do those, 10 minutes that can be, just do those few things. Because otherwise you think, if I do on the weekend, and then something happens on the weekend, and then you don't. And next thing you know, it's this enormous thing.
Well, I always say, and I've always said it when I mentor people, if you know, I have long lists. In my office, you'll see I've got my long lists and stuff, but I look at my lists every day.
Yes.
And as long as I underline just four things at
just
the top.
Just do those, achieve those.
I end up doing them all.
Yeah, but you'll...
It's like you give yourself that limit, because
yeah.
If you look at a piece of paper and think, oh my God, how am I going to get that done? And I do it with the team. I go, let's just compartmentalize things. What
yeah.
can we all do to get this done? And if you sit down and you focus rather than panic, you get it done.
Totally, totally. And it is so easy to flap. But yeah, definitely, I love a list.
Do you wear other people's clothes?
I do.
I suppose it's easier with a jean brand, because often I say
yeah.
to other fashion people, like, how do you cope where you are a designer and yes, you've got brilliant things, but... You see a bit of Gucci, a bit
yeah.
of this, a bit of that. Like, I could not just wear one brand.
Me neither. And actually, when we had stores, we had to then fill the stores.
Oh, you had great sweaters and t-shirts and everything.
So we did amazing. So we had lots of different brands. But then as we were phasing out the other brands, as we were then investing in our own brand, so then we were filling the stores with all of our own product, which is amazing. But then I felt that I had to only wear our brand. And actually, I don't always want to because,
yeah.
you know, if... It feels to you like being hemmed in, and I like to sort of dress in exactly what I want to wear each day, whether it's like another brand, bit of ours, whatever.
But I also think it shows with you, certainly with your brand, because it's jeans,
yeah.
that if you mix it with other things,
totally.
It shows other people that they can do
exactly.
that, because
how
not everyone
it.
Is going to buy one brand.
Exactly. I mean, I often look at Victoria Beckham, because she'll always only wear her brand. And I kind of feel half sorry for her. And I think, do you feel as if you can only wear that?
Yeah.
Or because there's so much else out there, which is incredible. I love what she does. I actually love it, but I wouldn't want it every day.
No, I agree.
You know, I'd want to wear like a big ruffly dress, or I'd want to wear like a loud something, or like a different pair of jeans or something, you know? T-shirts and jackets and blazers and fun stuff, you know?
And are you going to venture out into jewellery or hats or shoes, or you're going to stick to, you know?
Yeah, we're doing collaboration with Amanda Wakely, small one, for September. But nothing else in other. I've been asked to do jewellery. I've been asked to do a jewellery collaboration. I've been asked to do shoe ones and different ones, but I want to just look at what it is, you know, what energy I can put behind it before I really decide what to do. But I do like I love jewellery. Love jewellery and hats, love. Lack of Colour, that Australian brand, I absolutely love it. Found them on Instagram. So as long as it's like something that I actually loved and was passionate about it, pretty much I'd do anything, really.
And outside of fashion, home?
Oh my God, I love homewares. Love homewares. You would die if you came to my house. You must come. You would just want to edit.
I already do it when I look at it online.
You just like go, oh. Like there were like one wall just cut with like colour and vases, and there's like shows like all the pink vases, the green vases, the blue vases. You were,
when I go to Melissa's house, I say to her, I've got to move all your accessories to let everything breathe.
Yes.
I'm literally feeling like anxious, and she always laughs and says, just do it.
Take it all away.
Sometimes late at night, like we'll be on WhatsApp and she'll be sending me images of an area in her house.
And you're like, what is all that
and
stuff?
And literally
there?
By the end of it, we're laughing so much with laughter emojis because I'm like, move it a little bit to the left, no, up to the right. And it goes to the point where she then just picks up the phone and she just said, if anyone could actually see what we've just been doing for the last hour while I'm watching Love Island.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and the cushions. I mean, the amount of cushions I got in my place, you would just die. There's one sofa and they're just like ding ding ding. You've probably seen them. It's like no one can get on it.
When you do your Insta stories, I'm not looking at the women in there prancing around in their jumpsuits.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
just
looking,
zoning in on the interiors.
Is Fernando lying on something? He's the best accessory I've got. Oh my God, you and Fernando would look so good together.
Who? Oh, the
Fernando.
Dog.
Yes, he's a little beautiful little redhead too.
Oh.
You would look.
Well, I'm waiting for my invite. I need to get onto your mailing list.
Darling, you're welcome everywhere.
Well, you are simply, I say to everyone, the funniest person I know on Insta Story.
You
honestly, you make me howl.
Well, I'm really just out to make myself laugh, frankly. I mean, the things that, you know, you pop into your head as you, and I just, if you put on Instagram, people, oh my God, I do that too. I mean, it's so fun because we all think some pretty crazy stuff, don't we?
I know, but you're very open and I think it's a really lovely quality and you're an extraordinary businesswoman and I'm so thrilled to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
And I am going to get the concierge service. I'm going to get my boiler suit. I'm going
to
do it.
The Harper girls, they're desperate to come to your house.
Oh, good.
Desperado. I said, once you get in there, you'll like literally never go out again. So amazing.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, darling. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.